mashed potatoes across the country, around the world, on the radio and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Kristen Dreyer Kramer, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies.
Well, you know what? It's Halloween month still.
Yes, it is.
And
it's
we
still October.
Have another scary movie to talk about this week.
Yes.
Which is great.
Escape plan.
Yes, terrifying. Everything could be, ironically, a horror movie that we have in the list up.
It's true.
Including The Fifth Estate and Paradise. But no, I'm talking about Carrie. This is, though, a good thing, though, that there's horror movies actually in the month of October.
It is nice because it doesn't always happen.
No, it was back in the day when they were showing just every year there was a Saw movie that came out. Everything got out of its way.
Mm-hmm.
Now we've got some limited release stuff, but we also have late major releases like Carrie coming out. So that is going to be our horror movie this week to talk about, along with, like I said, Escape Plan, The Fifth Estate, Paradise. We're going to talk news and DVDs and Blu-rays, all that good stuff.
All kinds of fun stuff.
That's right. If you want to get a hold of us, you can email us at fatguys@fatguysatthemovies.com. You can leave us a voicemail at 740-205-6456. That's 740-205-6456. You can find us on the internet at fatguysatthemovies.com, or you can go to facebook.com/FGATM to find us there. And if you want to find me personally, you can track me down on Twitter at twitter.com/KevinCarr.
And I'm KDK Reviews.
That's right. Before we move on, we've got a real quick soundbite to tease you about our horror movie of the
week. While we're talking about horror movies, we might as well throw it in there.
Why not? We've got Julianne Moore, again, our dear friend, Julianne Moore, and Kimberly Pierce, talking about Carrie.
I think a lot of things that Kim did was go back to the original, go back to the book. Mm-hmm. And I certainly did, too. I mean, I went back and looked at it for there was some specific language that Margaret uses that I thought was really interesting. And just her backstory, the way she, you know, the relationships that she had, the way she gave birth to Carrie, all that stuff was really shocking and scary in the novel. And we kind of tried to bring that back into the film.
At first, I wasn't sure, you know, why you might or might not, you know, remake this movie. So I got a hold of the book and read it cover to cover and was completely captivated. And I also saw that there was a chance to do it differently.
So there you go. We're going to talk a little bit about that, but not quite yet because we're going to hit some news right now.
Let's do that. We've got some good stuff this week.
That's right. You're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kristen Dreyer Kramer and Kevin Carr. The first news story off the bulletin, the second one is probably the bigger news story, but I have to talk about this one.
This one is way more entertaining.
It's one of my favorite new subjects in movies, and it is texting in a movie theater.
Yes.
And, you know, sometimes somebody who is as important as Madonna just has to text.
Well, yeah, because, you know, when you're that important.
Yeah. She was watching 12 Years a Slave.
Right, you know. Just a lighthearted, you know, laid-back movie. It's no big deal to text during something like that.
Lighthearted
romp.
It's like, you know, when they have the Disney second, you know, the second screen.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Just like the Little Mermaid, and they've got Nightmare Before Christmas coming up. They're going to be doing
right,
that.
Right, yeah.
So apparently she thought that was what was going on during 12 Years a Slave.
Sure.
For the first 40 minutes during what was a film festival screening of it. Was it the New York Film
Festival?
She was tweeting or texting and tweeting for about 40 minutes while watching this movie, and then was talking about how fantastic it was. But you have to sit there and wonder how much she was actually paying attention.
Right.
The best part is when somebody asked her to stop texting, her response was, "It's for work.
Enslaver."
Enslaver, which I think is an amazing
That's hilarious.
Line. That's just amazing that she was so wrapped up in the movie.
Which, as somebody pointed out on Twitter, is quite an ironic thing for a wealthy white woman to say.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be one thing if she was had any color at all to her. I mean, even if she was like, she didn't even have to be African-American. She could just be like, you know, olive skin.
What could she be?
Yeah. I don't know. Anything besides some slutty white chick from Detroit, you know, that's so this person's an enslaver because they won't allow somebody to text. Because, you know, actually, if you go back to historical record.
Oh, yes.
One of the biggest plights of the African-American slave in this country.
Texting in movie theaters.
Was, yeah, just not being able to text.
I know,
tweet.
It was terrible. And, you know, when they changed that law, it was a great day.
It was that and the fugitive slave law. Those were probably the biggest and most significant laws in this guy, it's a travesty in America. I mean, it's a big blight.
It is a shame.
It's a blight on our history. So, yeah, but as a result of it, she has now been, because this didn't even take place at the Alamo Draft
House. No, it took place in New York.
New York. Yet, Alamo Draft House, being the Alamo Draft House that it is, Tim League came out and just announced that she is now banned because she made such a big deal. She is now not allowed to go to any Alamo draft house.
Until she apologizes.
Until she apologizes, which I think is hilarious.
Although, if you read the tweets, now, yeah. to be fair, you go through, mm-hmm. and there's a whole lot of conversation about, you know, back and forth about whether this is a good thing or a bad thing. And finally, he comes out and says, it was just a joke.
Yeah. Yeah, I really, well, first of all, I don't see any, Madonna doesn't premiere movies.
You think she's going to be hanging out at the Alamo Draft House
no.
a lot? Probably not so much.
Well, it's like when she did her movie We.
Right.
That was like the only movie she'd ever done since like Die Another Day, the James Bond movie, like more than 10 years ago. So she doesn't exactly go to these events, but I would love to see her try to go to one just to defy him and just walk up and call Tim League
an enslaver.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Yes. Can we be a little more sensitive, please, people, to the plight of the African-American slave trying to tweet during movies? The other big news... which we have to talk about, is now there is no shades of gray in Charlie Hunnam's future at all.
Yes.
The news broke, and it's funny, you know who my wife is the one who saw it first.
Okay.
Because she's like, oh my gosh, Charlie Hunnam dropped out of 50 Shades of Grey, and I'm like, oh, bull. Because I'm like, it starts shooting in a couple weeks.
It does. It's supposed to start shooting on November 1st.
Yeah.
And that is not far away, people.
No.
So start lining up the guys on the street trying to find a replacement because you've got no time.
I think that Hollywood has lost my number because I've not received
really?
My call yet.
No one has called you at all. That
no.
surprises me.
So Hollywood,
you know,
call.
I kind of figured you would be first in line for that one.
740-205-6456. Please, I could do it. I think I'd be great. But no, the whole thing is, it's such a weird story because it was such a big casting news.
And it was
huge.
Such a huge controversy and
yeah.
people protested it and it was such a big deal. And now he's like,
I'm not doing it. And supposedly what it is, and I don't believe these reports, but the
there have been a few, yeah.
The reports is that he was just, it was like overwhelming
And he doesn't want to be Rob Pattinson.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's too busy with his TV schedule. I also heard that he wanted a little bit of control of what was going on in the movie.
Really?
Yeah.
Charlie Hunnam?
Yeah.
See, that's what's
well, so you cool. know, if you're going to be doing these scenes, it might be nice to be able to say a little bit what you're doing.
Well,
I'm just saying.
I don't know. I mean, it's, you know, this is the thing. I could understand if they were casting, if he was casting like the, if like, it was Josh Hutcherson in The Hunger Games, and then they suddenly said, we're going to have these graphic sex scenes
yeah.
in here, and have him be like, whoa, I'm just some kid from Kentucky. Can we not do that? I mean, I understand that, but...
You do kind of know what you're getting into when yeah. you walk into 50 Shades of Grey.
You're basically walking into a big-budget version of a Showtime or Skinamax movie.
Nice, yeah, pretty much.
And so when the report came out, he's like, well, it's too... It was just such this weird, vaguely kind of, well, we, you know, I have this TV show and I was uncomfortable
with
this.
Have you heard of my TV show?
Well, that's the other thing. There's pretty graphic stuff in the TV show,
yeah.
too. Like, literally the week he was doing it, he's, like, having sex with prostitutes in the TV show. So,
yeah.
Makes you wonder. But the other thing is that, to me, it read like when they're like, oh, you know, Selena Gomez isn't doing her concert because she's suffering from exhaustion. You know, they normally say exhaustion is basically what killed Amy Winehouse.
Poor Charlie Hunnam. Now you're spreading rumors.
Oh, I'm not saying that he's suffering from exhaustion, but I'm just saying it's a BS excuse.
It's true.
For whatever reason, he's not doing it. But now it's up in the air. Then nobody knows who he's... I suggested Matthew Good.
Interesting.
To my wife. I thought he would be interesting for it.
From what I've heard, right now there are just a couple of British guys that you've probably never heard of who
There's
are
some
in line for
model.
It. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, who knows what'll happen?
I don't think they're going to get Matt Bomer because
he
also
he'll
has
turn
a TV
into the
show
new Rob Pattinson.
Yeah. Maybe they wanted him to start dating his co-star because that's the whole thing now. It's like, well, let's have him date the co-star.
Isn't he married?
I don't know.
I
Does it
married.
Matter?
Nah.
No,
it's
it
Hollywood.
Matters. It's Hollywood.
Never mind.
But that's the thing. Maybe he was worried that they were going to – that's another question is that they start sort of like saying, well, we need you to do this and do this in your personal
yeah.
life because the whole Robert Pattinson and Kristen Stewart becoming an item, that was pushed by the studio. So anyways, we got to go to a break. When we come back, movies.
–
welcome back to Fat Guys of the Movies with Kevin Carr and Christian Dreyer Kramer.
Hello.
We're diving right into our horror movie this week. We're
going to
talk
why not?
About because it's Halloween. I love Halloween. I love scary movies. I just watched Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
Nice.
Have you ever seen Killer Clowns?
I haven't, and I really want to.
It's a fantastic movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fantastic movie. And part of the reason it's fantastic is because they take it seriously. It's
that's even better.
It's not tongue-in-cheek. And that's what makes it's completely ludicrous. Where they're like, somebody, they're taking away people in cotton candy cocoons, and they're giant killer clowns from outer space. And
kind of like Santa Claus Conquers the Martians.
Yeah, well, that one played a little more for comedy, way more for comedy.
Sometimes, it's true.
Than killer clowns, so. But we're not talking about killer clowns, though. We got other things to talk about, more important things.
Really? Are you sure?
Yes, yeah.
Okay.
It's Carrie, the remake of Carrie. In which Chloe Grace Moretz, am I saying that right?
Yeah.
I always misspell. I just kind of plow through her name because it's got like umlauts and crap like that over it. So it's just like, says. So she stars as a Wallflower High School girl with sudden telekinetic powers in this remake of the Stephen King classic novel.
Helpless little girl see the sin of her days and ways. She'd made innocent. The curse of blood would
have that's not even in the Bible. It doesn't say that anywhere. Concentrate hard enough, I can make things move. There are other people out there like me who can do what I can do.
You know the devil never dies? Keeps coming back. You gotta keep killing him.
No!
Now, you're a reader, so have you read?
A
well, no, it's important. Have you read the original Carrie?
I haven't.
You really haven't?
No. There was, in high school, I had a friend who read Stephen King nonstop.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't really get into it at the time. And I've read a lot of Stephen King since then.
Yeah.
I have Carrie on my shelf, and I still haven't read it.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Part of the reason it's an interesting read is because it's his first book.
Mm-hmm.
You get it, and it's very much in the style of his 70s. I mean, his writing now is this big, bloated mess of, that's much more refined, but
it is very different, yes.
It's a lot bigger, we'll say.
Yeah.
Carrie is a pretty scant novel compared to the stuff
he
was writing by the mid-80s and on.
Oh, yeah. My friend, I think she had to bring an extra backpack to school just to carry her Stephen King novels. Yeah. They were gigantic.
Well, it's like he just came out with Dr. Sleep, which I'm like, I might read that because I used to read his, it's 508 pages. No. Because, you'd be 100 pages in before you decide whether or not you want to finish it.
Yeah, it's true.
So anyways, but Carrie, I'm okay with them doing a remake of this. They didn't screen this for us. It was very limited screenings. And right now it's at about a 60% going into the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I expect it to drop since it's a horror film.
Yeah, you never know.
They tend to drop. But I'm actually okay with a remake. They've already remade it before. It was a TV movie.
It's such a tough call with such a classic like this one,
Yeah. Well, part of the thing is it's so
scary.
Steeped in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
Such a 70s movie.
It is, yeah.
And even if you watch the movie and you compare it to the book, there's a lot of changes. And that was what plagued Stephen King pretty much his entire career.
Right. And that's, the sound clips that we played in the beginning of the show, that's what they talked about, going back to the original novel and, exploring what it was supposed to be at the time and what it was and trying to give it a different take this time around.
Yeah. And I think it brings a certain level of quality when you're bringing somebody like Julianne Moore into the film.
It's true.
And that adds something to it as opposed to just picking somebody else. And Piper Laurie, when she played Carrie's mom in the original, that was still a good she was a respected actress.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people get lost in the allure of the original Carrie because it was – I read a quote somewhere, and I forget who this would be attributed to, but they said the movie made the book and the book made Stephen King in terms of a household name.
Mm-hmm.
Because when he originally published Carrie, it did well, but it wasn't until Brian De Palma made the movie and it became this sensation that it became – that he suddenly became that master of modern horror, and then he just ushered in every – like The Shining and all that other good stuff. So – I don't know. I'm kind of looking forward to it, but I'm with reservations because you know what I'm terrified of? This is what I'm terrified of. Digital blood. I'm afraid it's just going to be loaded with digital blood because digital blood always looks like digital blood.
Yes, it's true.
And there's a lot of blood in this movie.
A little bit.
There has to be.
It'll be interesting to see what the director does with this.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and it's because it's Kimberly Pierce.
Right. Who did Stop Loss and Boys Don't Cry.
Yeah.
So
it's not like Eli Roth.
Right. So. It'll be really interesting to see the take that she gives this one.
Yeah. But unfortunately, we have to give it a...
Preemptive suck
because they didn't show it and very limited screenings because it's Screen Gems. Anyways, you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr and Christian Dreyer Kramer. Next up, we're going to be talking about Escape Plan, in which Sylvester Stallone plays a prison security specialist who is abandoned in an inescapable prison with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Who were you before you came in here?
I break out of prisons for a living.
You don't look that smart.
You don't either.
The people who paid for you to be here want you here forever.
Ray's gone off the grid. Where is he?
This is the Shadow World.
Codename the tomb. Phrase anywhere, it's it.
Where is here?
I don't know.
This was a setup. Somebody wanted to bury me.
You have a choice. You can die in here, or you can get out and punish
who put you here.
I'm going to find out who, and I'm going to find out why.
Let's do it.
And why not?
So.
Really, why not?
This movie, what's funny about this movie is, first of all, Schwarzenegger and Stallone never really collaborated before, aside from doing Planet Hollywood. And yeah, they were in The Expendables, but mm-hmm. it took them years to get to that point.
Right.
So we did not have this 70s or 80s, we never had this 80s movie with the two of them headlining it. It was only until they kind of became has-been that you could do this.
And why not? Again.
I have to say, if you liked, there was this run of these older action star movies earlier this year, and they
right.
all bombed.
Yes.
You know, because you had The Last Stand, which didn't do well, and The Bullet to the Head, which was Stallone's.
Which made like $4 million.
It made nothing. But if you liked The Last Stand, this is the same kind of movie. It's tongue-in-cheek at time. It is exactly what you'd expect in the homage to these movies of the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the Stallone movies tend to be heavier and grittier, but with Schwarzenegger in there, it gives it a lighter tone. And it's fun. It's stupid. It's a really dumb movie.
I'm so sad that I missed this one because we had to make a decision. We had two screenings on the same night and we split the difference. So you got this one.
It was such... I just had so much fun watching this.
Yeah, it looks like a lot of fun.
And that's the reason to see it. It's ludicrous. It makes no sense. It's completely predictable.
Oh, yeah.
And it's utterly preposterous. But it's just kind of fun to watch. But what's interesting is I was reading this article. This guy I know, Scott, I've mentioned before, Scott Mendelson from Forbes. He was talking about movies like Runner, Runner when it came out. He said, this is the kind of movie that did very well in the 90s.
Oh, yeah.
And in the 80s, and you get these movies, and he's kind of saying, are we going to not get these movies anymore because they don't do well in the theater?
Mm-hmm.
And I have a feeling Escape Plan is going to be very much like that.
Yep.
And that's the way The Last Stand was. These were movies that were the staple of box office in the 80s that they kind of have no place in the theater because no one wants to spend the premium bucks to go see them. And that's kind of a shame because they're a lot of fun. And I think we're in a position where, and this is where I feel Escape Plan is going to be like this. Escape Plan's the kind of movie that this is going to be the new direct-to-video because there's no reason to see this on the big screen.
No.
There really isn't. It's a lot of fun, but it's not exactly something that you need to stampede out and go see on a Saturday night.
Right. I agree. This is kind of the direction that movies like this are going to go. They're going to go to video.
Yeah. And as long as they can find a place and still have somebody at the even a has-been level of Stallone and no offense to them, but they're older guys, you know.
Yeah, they are.
So if they can reconcile a place for that in home video, that'd be great. So I'm going to say it rocked.
Okay.
And we're going to go to a break and we're going to come back and talk about The Fifth Estate and Paradise.
Welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kristen Dreyer Kramer and Kevin Carr. Kevin was just talking about Escape Plan with Stallone and Schwarzenegger. Now, while he was seeing that, I was seeing something completely different.
Very different.
Yeah. I was,
It could have been more different if maybe it was like a light romantic comedy.
It's
I don't know, though. That comedy, Escape Plan has some comedy in it.
Yeah. This is not a comedy.
No.
It's not. Up next is The Fifth Estate. Director Bill Condon's Tale of Digital Revolution stars the ever-present Benedict Cumberbatch.
Benedict Cumberbatch!
Nice. As WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange.
Two people and a secret. The beginning of all conspiracy. More people and more secrets. But if we could find one moral man, one whistleblower, someone willing to expose those secrets, that man could topple the most powerful and most repressive of regimes.
That was wonderful.
I love his name. I just have to say it like that. It's sort of like when somebody mentions Harry Potter, like, Harry Potter!
It is fun. I love his name. And, you know, I actually did a little survey in a screening that we had a few weeks ago. And
just randomly asking people?
No. And before this movie, they had 6 trailers.
Holy cow.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. And I'm pretty sure that Benedict Cumberbatch was in 3 of them.
Wow.
So that leads me to the conclusion that Benedict Cumberbatch is currently in half of all the movies coming out.
He should be in 50 Shades of Grey.
No.
I think he would just terrify anybody.
Yeah.
What's so funny is he plays...
God!
He just is so intense sometimes. But then you see a movie like, what was the movie? Was it Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy, where he's kind of just this little, warm little guy. Yeah. Hi, guys. I'm just Benedict Cumberbatch here with really funny hair.
Nice. Okay. On that note.
You know what? I kind of want to pirate The Fifth Estate and watch it that way.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Because, you know, to honor... The spirit of the film, so to speak.
The spirit of the film? I don't know if it's necessarily about pirating movies, but...
leaking it online.
It's true. It's true.
Yeah.
You know, this is one of those movies that everybody's talking about. Oh, it's the new Social Network. It's this year's Social Network. It is not this year's Social Network.
Yeah, I haven't quite heard that. But it does feel that way.
Well, and it's hard not to compare the two.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they do have a similar theme, but... it's just kind of like comparing Facebook to WikiLeaks.
Yeah.
You know, these are two very different beasts, and so are the movies.
Yeah.
You know, The Social Network is, you know, fun and quirky, and it's got a hot young cast, and, you know, okay, I know, Jesse Eisenberg may not be
hot. I was about to say.
Justin Timberlake is in it.
Were you being paid by David Fincher to say that?
No, I'm just saying. And it had this, you know, snappy dialogue and this brilliant script. And it was kind of a mainstream kind of movie.
Yeah.
The Fifth Element? Or The Fifth
Element. The Fifth Element?
Nice. I keep doing that.
That would be great to see Rod just show up and go, hey.
Nice. The Fifth Estate, not so much. I mean, it's a more serious film. It's more political. And for that reason, it doesn't have the, you know, fun, snappy dialogue. And it doesn't have all of that.
Where I would catch the comparison is both Julian Assange and Mark Zuckerberg are unappealing characters. They're, they're sort of, you know, for lack of a better term, they're kind of a-holes.
I have to say, you know, as much as Julian Assange has been complaining about this movie and how horrible it is and how it's vindictive and, you know, terrible, I'd say he comes off a lot better than Mark Zuckerberg did.
Yeah.
In The Social Network. I mean, it's a more thought-provoking film. It gives you a lot to discuss and a lot to think about along the way because, yeah, this is a guy with a mission.
Mm-hmm.
All he wants to do is to open it up for people to come forward and expose people who are doing bad things.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in the middle, there's kind of a line between, you know, exposing things and going too far.
Well, I remember that because what's interesting is I never... really followed the whole WikiLeaks.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a big political junkie anyways.
No, I'm not either. So.
But I remember sort of when it hit a fever pitch.
Mm-hmm.
And it was when he was, when as I understand, in my Wikipedia, you know, brief abstract knowledge of this story, it's when, like, people's embedded identities started showing up.
Right.
And that's when kind of people like, okay, we need to shut this stuff down.
Yeah.
And that's where it becomes a very gray area.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really kind of where it sort of hit that fever pitch in the media. And I'm assuming that's kind of like the tipping point in the movie.
It is, yeah. And yeah, that's what kind of makes it an interesting movie. That and Benedict Cumberbatch.
I mean, Cumberbatch.
Yeah, he makes this a really fascinating, complex character.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, when they're playing historical figures, it's distracting.
Yeah.
But... with him, you just get right into it, and you just really don't think this is Benedict Cumberbatch playing some other guy.
I mean, would it have been a lot lesser movie if he were not in, like if Charlie Hunnam role.
If Charlie Hunnam were playing Julian Assange, yes, it probably would have been a lesser movie.
Okay. What's your final grade on this?
I'm going to say it kind of rocks.
Oh, there we go. All right. Well, we're you're listening to Fat Guys in the Movies with Chris and Dreyer Kramer and Kevin Carr. We got another movie to talk about.
We do.
Real quick here.
Up next is Paradise. Julianne Hough stars as a small-town girl whose brush with death in a plane crash causes her to renounce her faith and relocate to Sin City.
I've got a heart full of rage and an L.L. Bean tote bag full of cash. Hello, Las Vegas.
High low.
I want as much liquor as possible.
That's very smart. Very smart.
Oh. I've never seen that happen before. You're using your nose like a little funnel.
Let me guess. You came here to be a showgirl.
Excuse me? I just want to experience worldly pleasures for the first time.
You think specific in mind?
Your basic abominations.
Just a small town girl!
I know. And I said that for a reason. Because Julianne Hough was in Rock of Ages.
Oh, Jesus, God, that was so
And
bad.
Seriously, it was the same character.
If Benedict Cumberbatch played her role, it probably would have been a much better film.
I can see that. Yeah. Now, this movie, for those of you playing along at home, was written and directed by Diablo Cody, mm-hmm. who, what was that?
Just go on.
Who won an Oscar for writing Juno.
Yes.
And has done some interesting things along the way.
6 years ago.
Yes. This is not an interesting movie.
This movie's actually really, you know, this feels exactly like a first director's effort.
Yes. And, you know, the sad thing is, whether you like her or not, Diablo Cody does some really interesting stuff. And she does. Juno, you know, I know people who absolutely hated it, but it was attention grabbing and it was different and it was.
See, but I didn't think this was any of that. I thought this was cliche and boring.
And exactly. That's what I'm trying to say here.
Oh, okay.
That is the conclusion that I am working my way to.
There we go.
There is none of that in this movie.
Yeah.
It is cliched and it is dull and it is dreary. I mean, Russell Brand is in this movie and he is boring.
Do you know what his character's name is?
Yes, I do. His character's name is William Carr.
Which is my dad's name.
Yes.
He plays my father.
Okay.
If my father were a
bartender,
arguably drunk bartender in Las Vegas.
In Vegas. So, yeah.
Part of the thing with what bothers me about this is it does seem to be Diablo Cody, who never lived in sort of this small town. I think she grew up in Minneapolis. Yeah, I mean, she lived. It's like she lived in this extremely overly conservative Bible Belt town, and it's just
such a cliche.
Giving the screws to them.
It is, yeah.
And you're like, well, wait. I can understand if that's where you grew up, and you're kind of lashing out. But now you're making everything a straw man, and it's just so shallow.
It is
how she puts that together.
It's sad.
Yeah,
it feels like a Lifetime movie.
Yeah,
it does. Which is fine when it's on Lifetime, but no.
It reminded me a little bit of Jennifer's Body, the writing, because when she wrote Jennifer's Body, you could see her still trying to capture that snappiness of Juno, and failing.
Oh yeah.
And part of that was because Megan Fox couldn't deliver the lines.
Well, yeah. Here it feels like she doesn't even try.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Julianne Hough. But yeah, it's just her trying to do stuff that's cool and snappy, and she's got some good people involved: Russell Brand, Octavia Spencer.
Yeah.
Not Julianne Hough.
No.
So
yeah, it tries. There's a message. It's interesting, kind of.
No.
But it's just dull and dreary and preachy.
Yeah. It's not very good.
No, it's not. What's your grade?
I say it sucks.
I'm going to be a little kinder and say it kind of sucks, but yeah.
Sucker.
It's not that great.
We got to go to a break. When we come back, box office and DVDs.
Welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer.
And Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yes. Benedict Cumberbatch is the theme of the rest of our shows for the rest of this season.
I want to make a sandwich called the Benedict Cumberbatch.
Hmm.
And it would have cabbage in it.
Really?
Yeah.
I think maybe some cucumbers, too.
A batch of cabbage.
I see cucumbers in this sandwich.
You see cucumbers?
Yeah.
Do you see dead people?
And not today.
Okay. Not today. Tomorrow, maybe.
Call me tomorrow.
God, when I stab you with a pen in the middle of this show.
Not quite yet.
After you poisoned my Benedict Cumberbatch. Benedict Cumber, if you ate the Benedict Cumberbatch, you probably should not go on a date because you might be a little gassy.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, with cucumbers and cabbage, come on.
It's true.
Seriously. Take some Beano along with that Benedict Cumberbatch. Let's move on and talk about box office.
I'd rather talk about Benedict Cumberbatch.
We'll talk about Benedict Cumberbatch next week.
And the week after.
Yes, about everything.
Yes.
Gravity won again. Holy cow.
Yeah.
What the heck happened?
I believe I saw that this was a record-breaking second week.
Yeah, it was huge.
Because it only dropped, what, like 12% or something like that. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, it's a huge...
Who guessed that one?
Yeah, and...
Not even me.
I saw somebody put a thing, it was like, well, Sandra Bullock's a bona fide movie star. I'm like, I think she was a while ago.
Yeah, she won an Oscar.
Yeah, and I mean...
Just a lot before that.
Yeah, this is not Demolition Man or The Vanishing. But yeah, it made $43 million over the weekend for a grand total of $122 million at the end of the weekend, which is huge for this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And that's great because it's a fantastic film.
It is.
It's good. It's one of those movies that it's nice to see what a good movie does well.
Yeah.
When this was a movie that could have completely bombed.
Yes.
I had actually thought Captain Phillips was going to win, and I said $32 million. You had said $29 million for Gravity, and we were both, again, way off.
Yeah. But at least I picked Gravity. There's that.
Yeah. And Captain Phillips didn't come that far off from the $32 million.
Nope.
Came in number two at 26, which is a really good for this kind of movie.
Sure.
It's one of those adult movies. Not adult.
Grown-up movies.
For grown-up movies. This is around the same time. It's a little earlier, but it's around the same time like Lincoln.
Mm-hmm.
It's those kind of movies that...
It is that time of year, my friend.
Old farts go to the theaters.
And that's actually, speaking of old farts,
yes,
is what I was reading, that's why Gravity has been doing so well, is that older audiences are actually going to see it in 3D, which is something that they didn't really do before. I mean, who needs to see a 3D movie?
But I don't want to wear the glasses. I don't like the red and the blue. Well, you know, in 3D, you could always tell because you went to all these screenings over the course of this 3D revolution.
Yes.
You could always tell the new people who'd never seen 3D because obviously the real D is very different than this anaglyph 3D. And so whenever they said, start in 3D, put on your glasses, and you hear this gasp from the audience of, oh.
This summer, I actually took a friend to Despicable Me.
Yeah.
And she had never been to a 3D movie before.
Oh, wow.
And that was the best part of the screening for me because we walked in and she's like, oh, I get glasses. And she sat down and she was all excited and she put on her glasses and like the Universal logo came up and she was like, oh,
yeah,
wow. I'm like, that's the studio logo. It kind of gets better. And she was just like, this is the coolest thing I've ever seen. So, yeah, it was kind of fun.
Now you don't get that reaction as much anymore. Part of it is because every Walmart you walk through has a 3D television that you can actually put the glasses on.
That's true.
See.
Yeah.
You don't even have to pay to go see 3D nowadays.
You can just go to Walmart.
So seriously, if you still are one of those people, I don't like those red-green glasses, seriously, get a job in a sideshow.
Nice.
All right. We also had, then the rest of the movies, and Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs 2 came in at $14 million, not bad. Machete Kills came in with $3.8 Which, to put it in perspective, the entire weekend, it didn't even make as much money as Gravity made on Monday.
Right.
Machete Kills, Machete, or as I referred to it, Meh-chete, it bombed. It was unnecessary, and it was stupid.
Yeah.
Who did not see that coming?
I didn't see it coming. Who knew?
We rattled down the list, the same films. One we want to mention, though, is Romeo and Juliet. Which also opened last week.
Which I kind of forgot about. I was walking through the theater this week and I was like, oh, wow, Romeo and Juliet came out.
Yeah.
That's weird. Nobody's seeing it.
Well, yeah, it made $520,000 in that, which is better than like Dracula 3D. I mean, that's about twice per screen what Dracula 3D made. But yeah,
that's a pretty sad comparison, really.
That's terrible for like a major movie, which looked like it should be on TV in the first place.
Right.
Because
sorry, Haley Steinfeld.
Stupid story. Who wrote this crap? An interesting thing about box office, before we move on to predictions, is there's a little news story that broke. It actually
this is
broke.
Such a fascinating story.
It like broke right as we're leading into the weekend from last week. It like mm-hmm. it like hit on Friday or Thursday or Friday. But it's worth mentioning. Apparently, the crew members of the Maersk Alabama are calling shenanigans on the heroism of Captain Phillips.
Mm-hmm. Apparently, he wasn't such a great guy after all, and nobody actually wants to work with him.
Yeah.
And he wasn't such a hero. And
allegedly, the whole way he gets kidnapped was it was just kind of like a bungled.
Yeah.
Where they just kind of grabbed him and threw him into the... But he wasn't like, no, take me, spare my men. Huzzah.
If you have to shoot someone, shoot me.
Yeah.
No, not so much. And apparently, from what I read, mm-hmm. there were all kinds of warnings about pirates. And he was like, whatever, pirates. Come and get me, pirates.
Right, Johnny Depp.
Yes.
Here's what's funny about this story. It's a Hollywood movie that's based on a true story.
Right.
You kind of have to expect this sort of thing. And the other thing is it's a great movie.
It is.
If they made this true to life and they're just like, and the real Captain Phillips comes sloshing on a board, it's like, well, who cares, pirates, these stupid guys. They're just in a boat. Who cares?
And the funny thing is one of those crew members was quoted at the end of the article as saying, it is a really entertaining movie. It's kind of fun. So,
well, and I think part of it also is you also have to read between the lines. I'm not saying that, I'm not discounting what's being said. I'm sure that, because in any real world situation, it's not nearly as good as any Hollywood movie.
Right.
No one is ever as heroic as they are in these movies.
No.
But you have to wonder, maybe the pirates or the first mate was like upset that it wasn't called First Mate Smith or something like that. You never know how much sour grapes going on,
well,
too.
Yeah. How would you like it if somebody made a movie about your boss?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Your manager or your middle manager.
Yeah.
Be like, middle manager, copier, copier heroes, Xerox heroes. So, yeah. I mean, it's an interesting story, but it's like, people, seriously, you really thought
it
this was
funny.
Real?
You know, right.
It's like the thing where they...
He did get the cover of Time magazine, though.
Well, yeah. But he was, in fact, kidnapped by pirates. I mean...
There
is a certain level of truth that even, no matter how you get in the situation, it's a terrifying situation.
Mm-hmm.
But it's sort of like when you watch these... You see them more on the internet now, but you get them on tablets when you walk through the supermarket line, and they're like, celebrities without makeup, they're photoshopping Katy Perry. And you're like, really? This is not news.
No.
This is not news that celebrities do not look like they do on the cover of magazines.
Right.
Yet somehow people always are like, what?
So anyway.
They Photoshop me all the time.
Really?
Well, I Photoshop myself like on pictures of Katy Perry.
Oh, okay.
Like just like hugging her in a diaper. Hi. Now that you have that image burned into your brain.
That's going to hurt for the rest of the day.
What's your box office? What's your prediction this week?
You know, just for fun, I'm going to go with the exact same prediction that I had last week.
Gravity?
Gravity with 29.
29. Well, there you go. I am going to say, I haven't even thought of this. I'm just like bringing this out of my, I'm going to say Gravity at 29 and $1. No. I think you're right.
Bring
Gravity,
it, Carr.
I'm going to say $35 million for Gravity.
Okay.
$35 million. That's me, and 29 is you. All right, so that's what we're going to say for next weekend. I don't think Carrie's going to do well. It'll do fine.
Yeah.
All right, we got to move into the next segment.
Yeah, we have other things to talk about yet.
Yeah, which we like to call the world famous
DVD Roundup.
Yeah, let's just roll right in. One of my favorite movies of the summer, Pacific Rim, is out on DVD and Blu-ray. It looks fantastic on Blu-ray. If you don't like robots versus monsters, you can skip this one.
Yeah.
But if you love robots versus monsters,
you can skip it.
I put a great quote on Twitter, which I won't repeat on the radio.
You can probably guess.
Yes.
Anyone who's listened to the show a couple of times, you can probably guess what it is.
Yeah. Let's move on. We also have Kevin Hart, Let Me Explain, Maniac, the remake with Elijah Wood. You wanted to mention Slapshot, right?
Slapshot.
Yep.
One of the best hockey movies ever made.
Hockey.
It's awesome. If you're a hockey fan and you haven't seen this, what is wrong with you?
Yep.
Go pick it up.
There's also a couple other sort of catalog releases. You got High Plains Drifter, Notting Hill, Love Actually, the 10-year anniversary coming up for Christmas, The Haunting on Blu-ray. You got Defiant Season 1, Viking Season 1, Anger Management Season 2, Shrek the Musical. That thing made it to DVD and Blu-ray. Stinker of the Week is The Heist, or The Heat.
The Heist,
The
even.
Heist was probably way better than The Heat.
The Heat.
All right. And that's it. We got to get going. Review wrap-up. Carrie, Preemptive Suck, Escape Plan, I Said Totally Rocks. You said The Fifth Estate kind of rocks,
yep.
And Paradise
kind of sucks.
Kind of sucks and sucks. So we will talk to you guys later.
See ya.